peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
June is here. Happy summer. Welcome to episode number 61. Howdy, howdy. My name is Brooke Taylor. So glad that you're here on the program. And with the month of June comes the theme of the Sacred Heart. It is the month dedicated to the Sacred Heart. It's an image known throughout the world and back through centuries. But why? We're going to talk about the history and the beauty behind that today on the show a little bit. Also, making freezer jam. And that's what we did a couple days ago in Ohio here. It's that season. It's just strawberry fields forever right now. And they're really abundantly full. So we did that. My best sister friend Jen and I made some freezer jam, which, trust me, anybody can do because there are some certain steps and some things you need to time out. We stirred the sugar gel. That's got to boil. You've got to put the sugar in and a little bit of strawberries with a lot of sugar. We had like 2 cups of strawberries, 4 cups of sugar, and it was all good because when you make it homemade, I think there's something therapeutic about it. But we also talked for like 4 hours straight, and miraculously, it's still all turned out. So if we could do it, anybody can do it. And we're going to talk about that recipe just in case you want to give it a try too. We'll share that and post it on the Facebook page. Also, the summer reading blitz has begun. Do you have a book that you're super into right now that you're digging into? Well, I'll share our weekly picks for all ages, whether you want just a beach book or an entire family read aloud selection. And we've also got some good movie night picks and more. That's coming up on the show today. So as we always lay that first level of foundation on the program, it's prayer. If you could join with me now, just deep breath, clear mind, open heart. And this is a prayer to the Sacred Heart. It's written by St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, whose visions of Jesus, it was in the late 17th century, are the source of the theme behind the Sacred Heart devotion. So if you would join with me as we enter into this wonderful gift in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. O heart of love, I put all my trust in thee, for I fear all things from my own weakness, but I hope for all things from thy goodness. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so June is here, and boy, a lot this month, but I want to start first by saying happy anniversary to my husband. It's been 16 years, and that's such a blessing, such a gift, my best friend. And this year, we opted, number one, because we don't have any money, so we had no choice. But number two, because we have something fun coming up, to just not get anything or really do anything special for each other for our anniversary. And really, the trip in August, the pilgrimage to Southern Italy, is our everything. The birthday and anniversary and Christmas, all of that kind of rolled into one. Which, by the way, there is still room. And if you heard the program a couple episodes back, you know all about it. The first time that my husband, Jim, joined me on the show and we talked about this trip. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. And I want to. My plan is to bring you along for the ride, whether you're actually physically with us or not, because I want to be able to send some videos, maybe do some audio stuff so that while we're along that you can join in. But it's August 8th through the 20th and we're going to Sorrento, Capri, the Amalfi Coast, Rome, so much more. And so we're just kind of counting the days for that. That will be the romantic getaway. But what we did as kind of instead of in lieu of going out to dinner was we took that money that we would have gone to dinner with and we had someone clean the house, which was like the heavens opening and angels descending in this beautiful sound from the heavens. And it was such a gift because it actually landed on the last day of school that we were able to coordinate the date. But what was so nice about that is the house was clean for the kids to wake up on the first day of break. So although they had their chore list and everybody has their boot camp routine that we're going to try to kick off and making sure that beds are made and the floor is vacuumed and everybody has their own chore, it was nice just to be able to maintain and just keep it nice. So I highly recommend, we might just do that every year. That's our room because it benefits the whole family. So that was our happy anniversary gift. And also my little trusty takeaway tip for the summer as well. Make things a little bit easier. easier. Okay, but I also wanted to talk about, in the month of June, some of the significant feast days coming up that we celebrate, because every month is filled with good stuff, and sometimes it just sneaks up and you don't realize it until it's here. So I wanted to try to plan ahead a little bit, and I saw June 13th is the feast of St. Anthony of Padua. And the thing about St. Anthony is everybody knows that he's the one that's in charge of lost articles and the intercessor for that. But there's so much more to him. He was so much deeper. He was the hammer of the heretics. Isn't that cool? That's what he was known as, because he battled heresies that questioned the value of life, the authority of the church, the very nature of God. And I just learned this doing some research. His body was exhumed 336 years after his death. It was found to be corrupted, which we would expect, but his tongue was totally incorrupt, because the legend says so perfect were his teachings that had been formed upon it. So for whatever reason, the Lord in his wisdom said this tongue is going to be preserved perfectly while the rest of his body was corrupt. So that's interesting. A famous quote of St. Anthony is this: attribute to God every good that you have received. If you take credit for something that does not belong to you, you will be guilty of theft. Very good. Thank you, St. Anthony. So that's June 13th. June 16th is the martyrs of the concentration camps. And I actually had a tough time finding a lot of info about that. This is in the new tradition calendar, but there is a Wikipedia page about it. It's under Martyrs of World War II. And that reminds me of a great quick summer movie that I wanted to recommend that loosely ties in. It's called Run Boy Run. And I actually watched this twice. And the first time I saw it, I was kind of thinking it was a little bit slow moving. I was waiting for like the next thing to happen. The second time I saw it, I actually liked it even better, even though I knew it was going to happen. It's a true story. It does have subtitles. My kids are usually like collectively groaning when I say that, but they always, at least 2 minutes in, forget that there's even subtitles. And I have found it's a great way to help them become proficient readers. Even for myself and my age, I think it's a great exercise. There's not a lot of dialogue in this film anyway, but it's a true story about a young boy. He survived in the woods of Poland for 3 years during World War II. And then what I love is at the end of the film, they show the real man today and they complete his story. So I totally recommend that. That is Run Boy Run. And that might be a good one for June 16th. That again is the day, the feast day of the martyrs of the concentration camps. June 21st is St. Aloysius Gonzaga. CatholicCuisine.com has a really good recipe for minestrone soup that day, so I highly recommend that. June 24th is the birth of John the Baptist. That is observed. Then on June 26th, one of my favorite, St. Jose Maria Escriva, of course, the founder of Opus Dei, the writer of The Way, which I have and love and recommend for everybody. One of the quotes in that says this: conquer yourself each day from the very first moment, getting up on the dot, set a time, without granting a single minute of laziness. If, with the help of God, you conquer yourself in that moment, you will have accomplished a great deal for the rest of the day. It's so discouraging to find yourself beaten in the first skirmish. That is so true. Yes, thank you, St. Jose Maria Escriva. If you don't know his story, that's another one, too, worth researching and being inspired by and telling your kids about. June 29th, Saints Peter and Paul, and then finally, the Feast of the Sacred Heart. This month is dedicated to that particular devotion. And why is that? Well, St. Benedict XVI had said, he urged during his pontificate for all people to renew in this month of June their devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And just a little backstory, Jesus Christ came to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. She was just a simple nun in her convent, not seeking any notoriety in the 17th century. 1670s, around that time. I can so just relate to the person of who she was. She was known, people say, to be clumsy in her duties, modest intellect, nothing really special, but Christ chose her. And it was so beyond what could have been explained, because her visions and the revelations she received came at a time when the church was in a battle. It was a deep battle with Jansenism. It was a false teaching, and there were a lot of dangerous beliefs which people were, it was spreading error. And she had the truth and brought people back. Just a couple quotes from her in a letter she wrote. She says, "Are you making no progress in prayer? Then you need only to offer the prayers to God which the Savior has poured out for us in the sacrament of the altar. Offer God his fervent love in reparation for your sluggishness. In the course of every activity, pray as follows." She says,
Above all, preserve peace of heart. This is more valuable than any treasure. In order to preserve it, there's nothing more useful than renouncing your own will and substituting for it the will of the divine heart. In this way, His will can carry out for us whatever contributes to His glory, and we will be happy to be His subjects and trust entirely in Him. Yes, that's the key, isn't it? Just living it out. So there you go. The month of June filled with good stuff. All good things.
It's Brooks House. Ow. It's Brooks House.
So I had a little last-minute change in the program, and I want to take advantage of this window of opportunity because with all of the fast-moving things we're going to talk about, freezer jam and books and movies, we're going to get to that. But I also wanted to take a second and invite a special guest onto the program today because she means a lot to me, and she's leaving. So I wanted to just take a second and introduce her to you as well. And if you've listened to the show for any number of episodes, you know all about her already. It's Vivian, our foreign exchange student, Huang Yu-Yao from, did I say it right?
Yep.
Yes. Because I don't use your Chinese name too often because you have Americanized Vivian. That was your selection. Tell me real quick how that works. Do they say that's hard for Americans to say, just pick an easy American name?
Yeah.
Pretty much. I want to just talk to you for a few minutes because you've just been such a blessing in our lives and you have so many neat stories and an awesome perspective on life. And as you go back to China for the summer, I thought it would be neat to share that with the listeners as well, with the audience. So just a little backstory. You were here. It's been almost 10 months. You came in August right after your 16th birthday, spent the year here and in our home and then also going to the high school here. And you, I know, have been very used to being independent and were in Connecticut, went to a high school there, and then decided you want to come to Ohio and were dropped into this crazy house. And so I just wanted to, I wanted to ask you, going to a Jesuit, a Catholic school, coming from no faith background at all, and trying to not only learn the language and the academics, but then the faith, was it overwhelming? Do you feel like you learned a lot? How has this year been for you?
I've been taking theology for 2 years, and in the first year, I think it's just, it's nothing for me because like last year it's not that Catholic, but like in this year it's more, like I just find out that the Catholic is more like a philosophy, like for.
Okay, so you really needed the second year to really better understand the fullness of it. Okay. I wanted to ask you, too, because you are very independent, and that I think what you just said there is a great perspective, because it takes a while to really understand the theology of different faith traditions. And you've basically, I don't want to say you've been on your own, but you were in boarding school from the time that you were in kindergarten. Your family loves you very much, but also, you know, you're fine kind of doing your own thing. And you have no faith tradition in your family. You have in China many who are Buddhist. You've seen and experienced different faiths. So what do you make of it all? I mean, in the time that you've been here, you went to a Baptist service, you went to a Catholic funeral as well as masses, and just have had a lot of the Christian influence, but also you've experienced many other influences as well. I mean, has it something that has made you think deeply? Do you think there must be a God? Are you just not sure? As you sit here today, what are your thoughts?
I thought it will be God, like in somewhere, but I'm not pretty sure. But I believe in God more than Buddhism. But.
Okay. And which is when you came here, you believed in nothing. So do you feel like you've changed a little bit or you're still trying to figure it out?
I changed a little bit.
Okay. And what is your hope as you prepare for adult life? I mean, you're so incredibly intelligent and beautiful and confident and capable. So where do you see yourself in 10 years? And what is your version of happiness?
I think my happiness is to like do the job like I want to do, just like you, and I have a like great family and everything. Yeah.
Has there been anything about the United States that you think is really weird?
you know, some like living habit. Sometimes it's a kind of weird
living habits. Oh no! Okay, confession time. Like what? What's weird? Like eating around the table or other things?
No. Just I can't remember now, but sometimes.
Maybe I don't want to know.
It's fine. Just some. Remember now.
Well, and you always talk about the air. You know, the air is so fresh and clean here. So, because I know you love your country. I know you love China. But you have said here that's one thing that you appreciate. And I wouldn't even, I mean, I've heard that there's a lot of smog in China. But you said you can just feel it in your lungs. It's more pure here.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what's one thing that you've really missed about China?
You know, the transportation. Like,
Yeah, because it's harder to get around here.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not as much shopping as you have near Beijing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thanks for just coming on the show for a couple minutes. And you know, we're going to miss you very much. So you're going, I shared a little bit with the listeners about your plans that you were going to go to New York. You were going to be shopping and plugged in. But now you're going to a deeper part of the country in China and spending time with your grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And are you excited about that? Are you nervous?
Yeah, kind of. Like I'm excited about, you know, the different life and everything, but I'm still nervous, you know, it's kind of dirty in there and no Wi-Fi, everything.
Yeah. No Wi-Fi. Well, what will be expected of you? Will you be able to sleep in? Is it a stricter schedule for you?
Yeah, like my grandma go to bed like 6:30 in the afternoon. So I'm not pretty sure what I would do like after 6:30. And there's no telephone, no television and everything. So I probably go to bed 7 o'clock.
You're going to get your beauty sleep. And then does your mom make you wake up at a certain time? Will you have chores? Do you even know?
You know, in the country, they have the chicken. Like they.
Yeah. Oh, so you get to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll be fun. And then you're going to Italy and France, which is exciting. The
mm-hmm.
same time that we'll be in Italy. So we might just wave from different cities at each other. That'll be neat as well. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Vivian. I appreciate your honesty.
Thanks.
Oh, and I am so glad that we do not have to hear that sound anymore for a while, at least as early as it has been. School is officially out for everybody during the summer. My daughter does have ESY, which is extended school year, but for the most part, it's break time. It feels good. And to be honest, this year, my goals are pretty simple for the summer with the old routine. I'll just tell you real quickly what our day looks like first for us. And that's why I wanted to ask Vivian how they do it. I'm always curious about what family do during the day in the summer. I know there's dynamics that are unique for everybody, but for us, what we're trying this year, especially as the kids have gotten older, it's harder to get them up. And it's odd because when they're little, they get up so early and you just pray that they will sleep. And now that I have teenagers, they sleep all day and I need them to get up and do their chores and get going. So I know that it's important for us to try to have a little bit of a structure that we can grab onto. So what I did is map out the following schedule. So we have everybody up by 8 a.m. and we have a little chalkboard. And so on it, I will update, you know, the saying of the day, the schedule that day, dinner notes, an inspirational quote. I don't update it every day. Some days it's like a couple of days behind or whatever, but that's the attempt. And then as we have breakfast, I do the daily readings. And then after that, everybody, it's interesting because I have to give everyone a piece of paper with their individual chores. I know some people have dry erase boards or posters or you name it, but for us, I find they have to be handed a specific list, like this is their marching orders, and then they go. And we're trying to get to daily mass or rosary. It's just, I think though, every day might come with a different set of plans. And so that's one thing. And then the only other fixed pillar during the day is that we will read for at least 30 minutes individually and then 30 minutes as a group. And I am a really, really firm believer in this. And if you have kids of any ages, and it might be harder, I think, the older they get, but the earlier you start, the better off it is. And maybe even if you start with 5 minutes, 10 minutes. My kids, even my very oldest, who is really on to his own stuff right now, will still sit for 30 minutes if we're reading a book. And honestly, I will take the children's literature section and get a biography. And it is something that they're so well written and so beautifully illustrated today that my kids will always sit there. And sometimes it takes 5 minutes, but then we'll do another reading and maybe a spiritual book. But that is our only other thing that day. And then at night, oh, I forgot this. At dinner time, we do one thing that we learned that day. So what do you know? My middle son, Grant, I want to start that. I know. What do you know? So here's what we know. So my son, Grant, is really into like the weird, wacky, did you know facts. I know a lot of boys go through that, like the Guinness Book of World Records, Ripley. He loves that sort of thing. And so I thought it would be fun to kind of get the gray matter going. And as dad comes home from work, kind of talk about that day, one thing that we learned. And all of us can do this. A single person, it doesn't matter how many of you there are, you can still have a moment of reflection and say, what is one thing that I learned today? So here's what we have. I wrote this down. Okay, ours for today is, did you know that Leonardo da Vinci always used mirror writing? So he always wrote everything backward. There's a couple different theories for this, but that's one thing. And then to read his notes, you had to hold them up to a mirror. He had over 20,000 pages of notes, but most of his ideas have been lost to time. One of them, though, was contact lenses. And in 1887, Adolf Eugene Fick, I know I'll never remember that, but I did write it down, brought that to life with the first pair of contact lenses, which he tested on animals first. Oh, and this is more than one thing, but Da Vinci conceived of the tank. Although he was a pacifist, he really created a lot of unique weaponry. A tank is one of them, and it was fashioned, modeled after the turtle. I mean, that's so obvious, but I didn't know that. So the next time you see a turtle, you know that is where we got the idea for a tank. And thank you to Leonardo. I almost said DiCaprio. Da Vinci. And so the book we got that from is called Neo Leo, The Ageless Ideas of Leonardo da Vinci. And I mean it. You don't have to have kids or be married or anything to get these books. There is no shame in going up to the children's section because, and I always say this, these biographies are so condensed that you can read it and get information and inspiration that you never knew about so many of these people. And it's in like just a short form. So that was one of the books that we read. And what I want to do is from now until the school year, I'm going to just give you a couple quick picks of the week for books. And, you know, on YouTube, you can find me. It's Brooke Taylor and the number 9. That's my name. I used to do all of these book hauls where I would share not only videos of what we were reading, but our favorites. And then I would write them all down in the underneath section of the video. So if you're interested in that, you can find that. But this is what we have this week because these are the classics. And I wanted to bring you the best of the best right out of the gate. So you've probably heard me talk about this book before. It's called Noah Webster and His Words. It's all about the writing of the very first American dictionary. It took Noah Webster over 20 years, over 2,000 handwritten pages. What else? I'm looking at the page here. Oh, and there had to be no mistakes. And in the inscription, it says in 1828, when Noah was 70 years old, so he worked on this from the time he was 50, because in America, there weren't words for like tomahawk and spellings and everything that went with it. So he traveled the world, researched, and worked with his son on this. But this was the inscription, the final words in the dictionary: to my fellow citizens, for their happiness and learning, for their moral and religious elevation, and for the glory of my country. Isn't that awesome? And then it's written by Jerry Chase Ferris. So that is one pick. And then the next one we have, I'm sure you've heard me talk about this one. I love it. It made me cry. It's called called Emmanuel's Dream, The True Story of Emmanuel Afosu Yeboah. And on the back, it says, one person can change the world. And when he was born in Ghana, he had a deformed leg. And in that time in Africa, and still to a point today, when you're disabled, you're basically doomed to a life of begging on the street. And that was not acceptable for Emmanuel's mom or for him. And even though his mom died and he was made fun of, he was able to inspire the entire country and then come to the United States, enact disability laws and regulations that elevated the dignity of each person in Africa. I talked to the author. I interviewed her. Her name is Lori Ann Thompson. She's a beautiful young lady. And this one I really recommend as well for all ages. Oh, and then there's one about Roget, the thesaurus. We talked about Webster. There's a new one too, and I don't have the book with me, but there's so many great biographies from John Deere to Mr. Hershey. Who doesn't want to hear about the chocolate factory, and so many in between. Bass Reeves, that's another one of our favorites, a African-American sheriff in the Wild West that most people don't even know about. His story is so cool if you have boys. So there's just a few picks. If you have a favorite, please, I want to hear it. We've got actually one audio feedback from Elena right now. I just remembered. I want to share that. Take a listen.
Miss Brooke, this is Elena, and I want to tell, can you tell everyone about the Time Traveler books, and you can learn about the saints. The saints are the most holy people in the world. God bless you guys.
Wow, 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 wow!
Yes. Oh, that makes my day. That was fantastic. Okay, so there you go. Miss Elena giving you the expert review, and it's Lisa Hendy, her series of Time Traveler books. I've heard they're fantastic. So thank you for that, Elena. Also, what are you as adults reading? I just started Robert Cardinal Sarah, God or Nothing. It is so fantastic. I highly recommend that. But if you've got a summer reading book, please share it. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. That's how you can reach out. Also, what are you doing faith-wise to make this summer good, all good? Because we do have a little extra time. And so you can either, you know, study a book of the Bible together, memorize some passages, choose a book about the life of a saint, learn a prayer or devotion. Are you doing that? And if so, what? Please reach out. Let us know. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Okay. And a quick movie plug, a couple quick movie plugs. This is good though. If you're looking for a summer film that you want to watch as well, a couple surprise ones that I just stumbled upon, and I love when that happens. And I want to play a little trailer of this one for you that I'm going to talk about. We watched a documentary. It's called Remote Area Medical. So it's a film. It's about a 3-day pop-up medical clinic. It's organized by, it's a nonprofit, RAM, Remote Area Medical, and it's in Bristol, Tennessee. And with Appalachia being there, the people come out of the mountains. I mean, over 2,000 people came, camped out, came to stand in line. I mean, it's like Black Friday, but to see a medical professional. So there are dozens of dentists that come in and they do fillings and dentures, and there are eye doctors, all sorts of things, because so many have no access to medical care or don't have insurance at all. And here's just a little clip of one of the volunteers talking about his experience. Take a listen.
Just out of the blue, people figure out this is where their glasses come from. They'll knock on the truck and say, thanks, I can see. I haven't been able to see for years. I'm 14 years old, and until today, I didn't know what a leaf looked like. Then that gets you. It gets you hard. We have people in this country suffering because they can't get a tooth filled, or they can't go to work because they can't see. You see the need of the people, and that hurts. With anything that hurts, you got to put a Band-Aid on it to start the healing process. So I try to remember that. We are making a difference for folks in their lives.
Yeah, really good. I mean, and he's crying. It's really good. So it's called Remote Area Medical. It's on Netflix. So it's free. It's streaming. You should be able to see that now, no problem. Also, the movie 13 Hours, that is a must see. And do you hear that? I'm pounding right on the studio table when I'm saying that, because it's really good. We saw it at the theater, but it's coming out. And I do think it will be one my kids are going to watch. And I've really sparingly allowed them to watch. Like, Lone Survivor's good, but there's so much language in it that they've just not seen it. There was one night that it was on, I think it was on FX or something, so they bleeped that out. That was great. I know you can actually buy devices as well that takes out the language, because especially when it's like the word and you have kids, for me, it's just something that we're not okay with. And the violence is so gratuitous in these war films that it's really kind of far and few between that we allow it. 13 Hours, though, is the true story. It's the story of Benghazi. It's the, you know, the six members, the security team that they were surrounded in the compound and what unfolded. Really interesting, really thought-provoking. And that actually comes out on DVD on June 7th. So you should be able to watch it then as well. So there you go. Some movie picks, some book picks. Oh, and I forgot to get to the free jam. I'm going to post the recipe on the Facebook page. So if you go to Good Things Radio, like the page if you haven't already, you should be able to find it there, or email me. Shoot me a quick email or Voxer. I will send it to you personally. It's Brooke Taylor and the number one on Voxer. And again, it's feedback at goodthingsradio.com for any email, any feedback. But if you want the recipe, just let me know and I'll shoot it your way. So there you go. Just like that, episode number 61 is a wrap from China to Bristol, Tennessee. We covered a little bit of everything today. And France, because of course, we talked about the Sacred Heart. So it's all good. And coming up on the next episode, episode number 62 of Good Things Radio, Father Nathan Cromley will be back with another Padre in Your Pocket segment. Ongoing exciting developments about the Arise retreat for 2017. I was hoping to talk about training for a half marathon, but I am not there yet. I did something to my back and I'm so frustrated. I don't know if it's muscular. I know it is. I guess like the medical thing, you just never know how blessed you are to have something until it's gone. And my back is gone. It's been gone for like 3 days and I was doing so good and I'm not even sure what happened, but I want to talk about that as well. Have you run a race? Have you completed a half marathon or a 5K? And what has your experience been? I've done several half marathons over the years, but I really, really want to do another one. I feel like I need it. I want it, but it's kind of on hold at the moment. So stay tuned for episode number 62. Lots coming up with that. And thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you to all of our Podbean patrons. It is because of you, Barb and Michelle and Whitney and Heidi and Tracy and Julia and Ken and Josh and Vicky and Vanessa and Darcy and Chaya and Jenny and Anne and Vicky, and I know, and our newest Podbean patron, Josh. Let's hear it for the boys. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Josh. Because of you, this show is being made possible and still going strong. So my heartfelt thank you to all of the Podbean patrons, good friends of the program. If you believe in the show, if you hear it, think that it has merit, want to see it continue, I encourage you, just ask you to consider to being a Podbean patron. It's a tip jar program that basically says, keep doing what you're doing and you can donate any amount. There's no minimum, there's no maximum. Just log on to podbean.com. Look for Good Things Radio. You can also download the app as well and just search for the crowdfunding page and you'll find it right there. Easy to do. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. So to find out more, reach him at cumminghomestudio.com. Thank you for being a part of episode number 61 of Good Things Radio. And until next time, God bless you and may the Sacred Heart enfold you.